The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Very experienced at last year with Cork. They were complacent. Their game plan was set up to prepare for another team, as if they were playing Dublin. That's coming from the coaches. So don't talk about they weren't complacent. They were.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Quick Start Car Insurance you can sort anytime, online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at getsetgo.ie.
Quarter past eight on this Friday morning. Delighted to welcome Graeme Hunter to the show. Graeme, how are you getting on?
Yeah, look, tip-top stage of a European Championship. I'd be a dirty liar if I didn't say that you feel the impact, mental and physical. It's busy. Euphoric, too. Because the tournament has been, I think it's been exceptional in terms of issues, entertainment, some great, great goals. So in decent nick. But if I didn't say that by the time the referee blows his whistle on, is it July the 11th at the end of the final, I won't be glad of a little break, then I wouldn't be doing justice to it. It's a beautiful slog is what it is. That's the best way to describe it.
Ah, those round of 16 games, absolutely incredible that day. And I think like it does have to go down in fame, really, as the greatest day, the greatest individual day of football ever, Graeme. I'm not sure what you think.
I couldn't agree more. I think that we get addicted to surprise. I don't think we only get addicted to David's throwing a stone into Goliath's forehead. I think that, for example, you know, the rollercoaster nature of Croatia-Spain included some fantastic goals. So it wasn't just a slugfest where you can say it's a case of never mind the quality, feel the width. There were moments of sublime quality in there. But I think, I mean, it has to be the more surprising that when Switzerland are down and out and they're finished, And a largely not that impressive France side who have let me down. I thought they were potential winners with Belgium. I thought they were the two stick-out favourites at the beginning of the tournament. And they've got the game tucked away. And as much as though Switzerland recently, I covered quite a lot because Spain and Switzerland and Germany were in a Nations League group. And I watched their Switzerland's games with Germany as well as the two against Spain. And I was aware that Petkovic's side had chutzpah, liked playing front foot football. But that ball in for the 3-3 goal in the finish, absolutely gorgeous. To have taken us to the brink when Switzerland got a goal disallowed, and you think, okay, well, that's as far as that firework is going to sputter. It's not going to flame and go off. And then the way in which Switzerland took away all their penalties. I like a penalty shootout where one side is perfect. And they were. Sommer is a really special and interesting goalkeeper. His save against Mbappe was probably, of all the penalty saves so far in the tournament, I think it probably was at or around the best. The sense of drama, the fact that it was Mbappe who was denied, that was just exceptional. To have two games like that within, you know, starting within an hour of one another, each going to extra time and then there being penalties, plus the way in which Switzerland did a fatal attraction, came back out of the bath and went, I'm not dead yet. It was just magical, yeah, magic. So, hi, Glenn, by the way, if you're listening to Off the Ball AM, morning, Glenn Close.
5 o'clock today then, Spain against Switzerland. Like, okay, so I'm sure you're familiar with the meme of the dog in the burning inferno of a house and the caption is, this is fine. And the dog is just sitting there with a smile on its face. That, for me, is this Spanish team throughout this competition. They are in the middle of a blazing inferno, and they are like, do not worry, everything is going to be okay. And it has been okay so far, Graeme. In fact, it's getting better and better and better.
Yeah, but as good as you are, you've rarely caught me out before. I've glimpsed at that meme. I've never understood it. I've no idea what it means, ever. And people accuse me of coming up with word pictures that you've got to work a little bit with. You've just done that. Is he wearing a Homburg or a tap?
Correct.
A bowler hat or something as well?
Correct, that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's not interesting. Why the dog's chosen to wear a hat? Never mind. Look, I think that instead of a hat, that dog's wearing a crown. I'm going to argue. I don't quite buy your shout.
Okay.
Yes, it's been a little bit... testing. They And, you know, look, again, I'd be a dirty liar if I didn't admit I've written for ESPN that, hey, hold on, never mind 10 goals in two games. No side's ever done that in the Euro before. Spain have never played four games in a competition before and scored 10 goals. They've only ever, you know, superseded that mark, 11 goals in 2008-2012. And potentially Spain have got, what, three games to go. So, you know, it's pretty sexy when they get going. And you know, dog in a fiery room, the metaphor of this tournament has been not yours, but Luis Enrique's, because he was boxing clever for a long time about Spain's draws and their inability to convert the chances. And I've been taught to really love when, I like it a lot when coaches or players, particularly in press conferences, so when you're talking to them individually, you have at least a chance on to not prize them, but know when there's sincerity and when there isn't. In a press conference, it's much more difficult. But often when a manager will say something to you, and it sounds bizarre, but then it happens. We get the thing that the players dig the most. Players will always say to you, the manager said, do this and this will happen, or they're going to do this to you and this is how you supersede it. And players become disciples when managers say something and it happens again and again and again. I've heard that most of all from players who work for Pep Guardiola. Well, there's an echo chamber here. Before the Slovakia game, Luis Enrique said, when my players unblock, it'll be like shaking a cava bottle and taking the cork out, it'll just explode. And after a 0-0 against Portugal, I didn't mind that, after a 1-1 against Greece and a late winner against Georgia to convert a 1-1 into 2-1, a 0-0 draw against Portugal, 0-0 Sweden, 1-1 Poland, him saying, listen, explosion is coming. And then it happens. Well, you have to respect that. But it echoes on something that the last time Switzerland and Spain played, Luis Enrique did the same thing. It was last November. They'd already won 1-0 against Switzerland in Madrid. Then they played in Basel and they missed two penalties. And it didn't feel like they played well. It genuinely didn't. After the match, somebody said that to Luis Enrique and he went, stop, you can't see what I'm seeing. It's not just that you don't see training and I do. I see football better than all of you. I genuinely, it's my job to see it better than, and you don't understand. He says, a massive performance is coming. 3 days later, they go out and they beat Germany 6-0. I like it when coaches say, blah, 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 blah. It's not mouth music and it comes true, and it did. So I think the Flames, at least, just to pick up on your analogy, the Flames are going down. It is a possibility, I think, even with Xhaka out, it is a possibility that Switzerland can put the brakes on Spain, can thwart them. My opinion is that the unblocking, that the psychological boost, not just of scoring all those goals, but converting good play into goals, knowing that the style to which they're completely wedded can produce winning moments and coming back off the ropes, not just from the bizarre goal they concede for the 1-0 and the own goal, but also coming back off the ropes, having let a 3-1 lead go away. These things are going to see them through, I think, tonight against Switzerland. And I think Spain do win. On an ordinary day, I think they win 2-1. If they have a really good day and Switzerland can't quite, haven't got the energy to keep up the press, maybe then they win 3-1. But it is far from inconceivable that your Flames go up again and that maybe we're going to penalties, because Switzerland in the last few games against Spain, pardon me, have shown that they know how to make them work, how to make them soar. And I think a huge amount depends on whether the 13,500 kilometres that Switzerland have travelled, plus the euphoria, not just the physical effort, the euphoria of maybe the greatest win in their history to knock out the world champions, how much has that cost them? Or has it pushed them on physically because they just think they're invincible? We'll wait and see, but I think it's a hugely fascinating game.
You penned a love letter to Pedri, and I remember, I think probably the first time we ever discussed Pedri on the show was with yourself. I think you actually said, we need to talk about this guy rather than us going to you with him. Like, I mean, the answer is obviously based largely down to the fact that this guy is an insanely talented individual. But the fact that he comes into the Barcelona team, plays 37 games, has played every single minute of this Euro so far, what is it about him as a personality that allows him to get up to speed so quickly at this level?
I asked him that, and he talked about street football when he was a kid. He accepts that he does take snapshots. I asked him if he had a photographic memory, and he said yes. So he takes little, I mean, the answers he gives are not particularly different from all good players, but that's not enough, because I argued in that love letter that you describe accurately, because I'm just head over heels with this kid. I argued that when we see a teenage Tyro, it's usually because that, I mean, I'm talking about men's football here, it's usually because that kid is a man in stature and a pace, power, and the date on his passport doesn't matter. It's usually when there's breakthrough kids. It's normally not because, look, they play a refined, intelligent, visionary game. Pedri is also blessed with a physique that, you know, genuinely, if he said he was 15 or 16, you'd believe him. So what how he does it is too difficult a question to answer, because I don't know. And I don't think he even really wants to think about it too much. But his brain works at a rate like Busquets' brain. He understands long before the ball comes to him what three options are going to be open to him and which he'll choose. He's not infallible. He might get bullied today, because even in the Croatia game, Luka Modric, who's got the full bundle of talents, Bruce Leedham from a great height came in, sort of knee and shin into Pedri's back, the bit between his shoulders, flattened him completely. It was an orange card, never mind a yellow at the time. People will try that persistently because he's tiny, slender. He's not blessed also with, you know, massive athletic pace. But his brain is literally, I can use the word, his brain is brilliant. And it's unfeasible that somebody who began at 17 at Barcelona without any training at a top-level club, you know, who was playing his football a year ago today, was playing football to try and keep Las Palmas out of the third division. To be here now, it needs a whirlwind of perfect circumstances. Luis Enrique, it needs to be that coach. There are so few footballers. Rijkaard wasn't trusting a 22, 23-year-old Iniesta. And right now, stats don't do enough, but Pedri's stats with Spain are far ahead of Xavi and Iniesta's. Doesn't mean he goes on to better them. Doesn't mean that, because a career is long and there'll be a lot of stony ground and there'll be difficult moments for him. But I literally think we're watching a phenomenon. And I think the big thing, I'm not selling Spain. Anybody who wants to, can't be at a game in St. Petersburg, anybody who wants to turn on the radio or the television will just get pleasure from watching this kid. I told a couple of months ago, I told a Premier League, ex-Premier League player who's now a big star on television, look out for Pedri. And during the last game, he texted me and said, man, I can't use the... He used a word beginning with F as a part of his description, but it was effing sublime. What a joy to watch. He's a diamond. Thanks for the tip off. You've got the vision. I think we're watching somebody who will simply give non-Spain fans enormous enjoyment to say, that's how I want to see football played. And to see it played by an 18-year-old kid is verging on miraculous.
Graham, on Alvaro Morata, has there been much revisionism or rowing back, remorse around a lot of the criticism he had over the course of the last couple of weeks since he got his goal against Croatia, and the floodgates opened in general for Spain over the last week?
I don't think so. I think that the most horrific stuff came from social media, with people wishing harm on his kids and on his wife and on him. And that's where the hurt comes. That's where the sting is. That's why he's spoken out. I'm so glad he's spoken out. In the media, no, I think they speak the forked tongue. In the Spanish media, I think there's a lack of regard for Morata. And I think that, you know, some of it is based upon the fact that, unfortunately, in pure elite sports terms, he's got a tiny little bit that isn't absent, but the mercury goes up and down in that part of the hardness, the nastiness, the this is my minute, everybody get out of the way, I'm seizing it. We've seen it in all the sports coverage you do, male or female sport, right across every branch of sport. You get really big interviews on your show. You talk to people about the winning gene, and it isn't enough to be blessed with what he's got, which is a fantastic physique. He's lean, he's quick, he's very strong. He's not only tall, but he's good in the air. There's a lot there, and his record is good. He's played in three Champions League finals, he's scored in one, he's won two of them. He's repeatedly won trophies across Europe. But there is something that's a little bit unusual about him. It is the case that he has moments where his concentration flickers, and that will continue. And I think that irrespective of the fact that he's won two European championships for Spain already in the junior categories, which I think matters, because the proof is that doing that regularly leads to you winning regularly at the senior side. I think the media are affable with him when he's scoring, and they put the boot in when he's not, and I don't think that will change. So not a lot of revisionism, no. But the key thing to him is that, one, I've noticed he's matured a lot. He's a different fella. I told a tale where, 5 years ago in Ile de Ré in the European Championships, we were stationed just off in an island, just off Nantes, and it was 6, 7, 8 months after those horrific attacks on Paris, and therefore security was quite high, and we were stationed with several people from the equivalent of, I suppose, the SAS. It's called RAID in France. Response police that are verging on the military. And they were guarding Spain, and none of the Spain players were interested in talking to them, thanking them, how are you, even a good morning, except for Morata. I spoke to these two RAID semi-soldiers and said, look, how is it? And they're listen, none of them talk to us. They all affect complete disdain for us, except for Morata always says hi, hello, chats to us. He's an affable, sort of easygoing guy. But over the years, he's become tough. I don't know if it's coming through the injury problems that he had with his back at Chelsea, whether it's being married and having kids, whether it's life at Juventus, the toughened job. He's different. And he's known that Luis Enrique has got his back. And he's known that he'll be a consistent starter. That's what's made the difference. And I think that, if this was his school report card, you'd say, well, Alvaro's a very good pupil. He could be top of the class if he just pays a little bit more attention. There's no doubt he's had a good tournament, except for the fact that he's about 4 goals short of where he should be. And if that gets measured out today and he pays the faith back again today, then none of the foregoing will matter at all. Mm.
So that's the 5 o'clock game today, obviously Switzerland against Spain, and then probably the main event of the weekend tonight, 8 o'clock, Belgium against Italy. I just wanted to ask you about what has become the great bromance of Euro 2020, Mancini and Vialli. It's just beautiful scenes, the happiness that they're getting off one another and off the team that is playing in front of them. You've obviously been pushing back out your interview with Sven-Goran Eriksson from a while back, where he talks about that era of Sampdoria greatness, something that maybe a lot of us aren't overly aware of. So how close are these two guys, Vialli and Mancini, and how beautiful is their friendship?
Yeah, they're brothers. I think the friendship is augmented by the fact that they're together again all these years on the bench for Italy, where neither of them would say that they got the success for Azzurri that their generation probably deserved. But beyond that, it is important in the story that Luca Vialli has come through, a struggle with cancer as well. That matters a lot to Mancini. They were so close. The hijinks they got up to at Sampdoria are legendary, because those boys lived, neither of them was hit with the ugly stick. And I think life was quite full for them, quite rich for them. But as footballers, they were blessed, not only in their individual skills, and for a long, long time, maybe even still today, Vialli was my favourite Italian footballer. And I got to know him really well. I'm still in touch with him. Mancini, I don't think I've met even once. But when Sven-Göran Eriksson talked about them, he talked about the president Mantovani at Sampdoria wanting to win things, which they did, they won the title, and they wanted it to be beautiful football. And he ceded control of the football to his two players. So when they were looking for a new coach, Mantovani said to Vialli and Mancini, who should it be? And they jointly chose Sven-Göran Eriksson. And Mantovani took them to the meeting, I think down in Monaco, to meet the new coach for the first time so that they could interview Eriksson. It sounds barmy now, it sounds crazy, but it worked. And one of the things that unites them is that people talk about Mancini's style now in a sort of dressing room way, and that he's elegant. He could be the front cover of Vogue. And he was a beautiful, elegant, magical footballer. Mantovani, the president at Sampdoria, used to go to away games if Mancini was definitely playing. And he would ask Eriksen, and if Mancini wasn't playing, Mantovani wouldn't go to the away games. But the key thing is that Mancini is a driven, hard-driven, remorseless, detail-obsessed winner. Because he's got this sort of movie star persona and looks and the coiffured hair and all that kind of nonsense, people might think that he's a little bit of a, you know, just a sort of aristocrat who's playing at this. He's obsessed by detail, obsessed, always has been. And Luca Viale is pretty similar. It's one of the reasons that he found coaching at Chelsea a little bit difficult, because he couldn't tolerate people who worked less hard or gave more effort or wanted it less than him. So as a partnership, they'll be pretty demanding. And I think that's been useful. If you look at the components of the Italy squad, you would say there's no AAA players there, a couple of B-plus players. Bonucci and Chiellini are established legends. Donnarumma looks even at that age, as if he could become something special. I don't think we can say he's there yet. And the rest of them are talented, but you wouldn't say that they're A-grade and say, I have to have that player if I owned a club or in my fantasy team. So the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, in my opinion. I think that's a lot to do with the two coaches who demand so much of the group. And, you know, they have it in their hands, because I don't believe that Hazard starts. De Bruyne, maybe. But the really brutish way in which Portugal treated those two players, particularly treated De Bruyne, robs us of the kind of game we should be seeing, which is Belgium at full strength.
Sure.
They looked a little bit tired against Portugal, but I thought they deserved to win. I was really impressed with them. I know Roberto Martinez, Thierry Henry, and Sean Maloney really well. Sean was telling me about how madly, before the goal he scored, how madly impressed they've been with Thorgan Hazard. This is a game where, you know, if Italy are not to do what everybody expects, then Courtois needs to be exceptional, Lukaku needs to score. I'm not really convinced about how much either of Eden Hazard or De Bruyne or the real Eden Hazard we get to see in this game. And it worries me, because I don't want that kid to have more injuries given the couple of years he's had. Yeah. So against the run, and you didn't ask me for a tip, but Sean and I went to the same school. The coaching team at Belgium have been very good to me in my career. So has Luca Viale. I kind of got at least I'll say, I hope Belgium punch above their weight, because they looked like winners. They still could be. And I think Spain is meeting one of them in the semi-final.
Yeah, a win for Belgium is a win for Scotland, Graham. Very briefly, before we let you go, because we're completely out of time, Lionel Messi, obviously, the ticker has counted down. His jersey has faded to black. Lionel Messi is out of contract at Barcelona. Will he be a Barcelona player, signed up once again in a month's time?
60-40, yes. He's busy with winning the Copa America. The deal has not been thrashed out and set aside and is about to be announced. There are problems to overcome. Is it impossible he leaves? No, it's not. But 60-40, yes, he's a Barcelona player again, I think.
Brilliant. Graham Hunter, enjoy the weekend's football. It should be great. Thank you.
Cheers on.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Quickstar car insurance you can sort anytime online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at GetZetGo.ie.